Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to the Wildcast. We're live here in Portland. I'm Zach Rosenblatt, joined here by Michael Lev, fresh from the airport. It's cold and rainy, and we're loving it out here.
This is a very interesting hotel you got here, Zach. I feel like it's a very millennial type of hotel.
Very hipster.
I'm surprised that there's a desk in here, honestly. It is very hipster.
Yeah, did you see the bar downstairs and the seating? And yeah.
Very fancy. How much does the star paying for this place?
Too much. I'm just kidding, Ryan. No. But yeah, we're here for tomorrow's Oregon 4 p.m. kickoff locally, which is great for us by comparison to what we're used to. We would have preferred the 12:30 or whatever that one was. I was kind of confused that Arizona got the fourth pick out of the pecking order, if that was an accurate pecking order. Like, that was weird to me.
I agree. I was a little puzzled that
we thought maybe they got
Fox,
the second one.
For example, you know, didn't want... Yeah. Khalil Tate, but I get the appeal of having Cal Stanford, too. I mean, Bryce Love is obviously an attraction.
Then you have USC, UCLA.
You have a ranked Stanford team. Yeah, I always thought USC, UCLA would be the top pick in that pecking order, no matter what, because it's USC, UCLA. Yeah. People across the country love that game. It's like, you know, maybe the 1-2 picks in the draft next year. Speaking of next year, what do you want to talk about, Zach?
Segue. Before we get into a little preview, talk a little bit of the Willie Taggart v. Rich Rod. Like very similar to Batman vs. Superman, except this one is more exciting than that trash movie. But we'll get into that in a second. But first, so Arizona's schedule for next year came out already, which is much earlier than usual, right?
It is unusual. Yeah, usually some conferences do release their next year's schedule during the season. The Pac-12 has not in recent years, but they did this year. It came out yesterday, so you can kind of see how it all lays out.
I'll go through it right now. I'll just say it.
Go ahead and say it.
All right, so... Arizona open their bye week isn't until the third to last week, so keep that in mind. But so they go versus BYU at Houston, versus Southern Utah at Oregon State, versus USC, versus Cal at Utah on a Friday, at UCLA versus Oregon, versus Colorado on a Friday. So two Friday games, which is pretty unique. Although I guess they had two this year too, huh?
They did. They were back to back this year though, so it was a little easier to space it out.
Well, then they have a bye after that Friday, so it's like they get an extra day off actually. Then at Washington State and at home for the Territorial Cup to end the season. We both were just talking about this. Like, I don't know if you could have them. First of all, they don't have Washington and Stanford again, which is still huge because they'll still be good. And between the teams they're playing at home, the road trips against teams that are kind of either rebuilding or not great right now, like, it's a pretty favorable schedule.
We were talking about this before we started the podcast. And saying that this might be a 9-3 type of schedule for Arizona. I mean, is that a crazy sentence to state here for the record? Obviously, a lot of things can change. You know, they're one Khalil Tate injury away from being back to square one, right?
Again.
But when you look at it, like, they conceivably could be...
They should be 4-0.
4-0 heading into that USC game,
at
right?
At home, which potential game day game, honestly.
Like, so does USC still have Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Or do they not? That's a huge factor.
Then they have Cal after that, very beatable. Utah.
They always play Utah well, even though that's a road Friday game. That'll be difficult.
I mean, so think of it like this. I mean, it's still early again, but how many of these games is Arizona even going to be the underdog in?
Yeah, if they continue to play the way they have been, finish this season strong.
Exactly. It's a lot of ifs.
And start next season strong. I mean, you know, a lot of people were on Twitter were sort of brushing off BYU and Houston to open the season. And I said, look, BYU is definitely down this year, but they are usually a tough program. That will not be a walkover type of game. BYU beat Arizona a couple years ago.
Still another season of Ed Oliver, right? Houston is the only sophomore.
Houston still has Ed Oliver next year.
So we get a week of those stories again.
We will. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew.
And it will be a vastly looking different Arizona offensive line. So
That's right. Yeah. So there's no guarantee they'll be 4-0. But I think
it's favorable.
When you look at the schedule, it is pretty favorable as far as who's at home, who's on the road. Like you mentioned, the fact that there's no Washington and no Stanford again this year.
Like I mentioned to you earlier, the late bye week isn't ideal, but it's really only not ideal if you start having health issues like USC has this year, like Oregon has this year, like Arizona did in 2015 when they had no bye. So if they can make it to that bye week healthy in the key spots, you think they're in pretty good shape to compete for the South title at least.
There's no possible way to predict that, right? I mean, we don't know what the injury situation is going to be. We never thought they would have 2 years in a row of horrible injuries, which they did this year, relatively healthy, knock wood.
I mean, look at this injury report this week. I don't think I've seen one like that since I've covered Arizona.
Yeah, it was very strange. Only Curtis Brown and J.B. Brown listed as
out. Only
Browns
are injured
the only guys on the report at all, they really are not huge factors. Yeah. Let's face it. They played a little bit, and they were rotational
guys. It still was
guys.
Weird to me that Scotty Young wasn't on the report again. It seems like, I don't know if they're hiding something from
us. I stubbornly kept him in my projected starting lineup. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. He obviously didn't play at all last week, but how crazy is it that we're having this conversation about how they could maybe 9-3 or something next
year? With a Heisman favorite, maybe.
With a strong Heisman contender, maybe the favorite.
Because, I mean, if, again, this is all, we're being weird and looking ahead to next year while we're in the thick of this year, but, Baker Mayfield will be gone. Bryce Love, I think, is he a junior?
If he is a junior and he doesn't leave, that would be insane. Yeah. I'm surprised Royce Freeman is still here, by the way. I know he had some injuries.
Yeah, I think that's why.
Along the way, and maybe that's the reason he's the second leading rusher in Pac-12
history. I
don't
think the last time Arizona played Oregon, we thought they would ever see Royce Freeman again, you know?
Right.
At that point, he was in, the thick of his prime, in a way. But,
right.
But, I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, okay, moving away from next year, back on to this year. Well, back on to earlier this year, actually. Because the biggest topic, I was talking to Zach Clark about this. I've never kind of seen the mood, the discussion around this game quite like it's been with the Oregon and Arizona fans. Clearly people care about recruiting because Arizona fans are still all up in arms about the way Willie Taggart went about it. Then I'm seeing Oregon fans on the flip side being stop being crybabies. And then I'm on my feet. I had these people attacking Eugene, and then people from Eugene attacking Tucson. And you're at, people are asking Willie Taggart about it, and he's like, oh, there's no ill will. I think we're good. And then you kind of get a different message from even – Rich even didn't even really hide it. He's like, I don't hold any ill will, but it is frustrating. And Rod Smith clearly was – did not want to talk about it. And I'm going to play a Shum Brown clip right now, actually.
This is a player. Just an Arizona player.
It wasn't even this last recruiting class, and it's kind of just indicative of, the different, mindsets going into this game.
You know, we had been relatively lucky most of the year. You know, when we would get a guy, it would be maybe one guy, one position, not three or four. And so it is a concern. We've got a few days to try to figure it out. I don't know who's going to be back. And certainly going against a team that can run the ball with big running backs and an athletic quarterback. So we've got to figure something out in a hurry.
All right, so you heard that. That's Shum Brown. He doesn't have any stake in this recruiting thing. You know, he's a kid from New Orleans, from Louisiana. He wasn't going to get recruited by Oregon. Pretty lightly recruited, one of Arizona's most talented guys. But that's just so interesting to me. I don't think I've ever heard players talk about recruiting the way that we talk about it. Nathan Eldridge, I think, mentioned, I was supposed to, I was looking forward to Cody Shear coming here, and he left the day of signing day. And Tony Fields said, I was planning on living with Braxton Burmeister, and he didn't tell me that he was going to bail on us for Oregon. Have you covered USC, which is the king of weirdness, and they steal recruits all the time, but have you ever seen something like this? It's such a unique storyline.
It is a unique situation. Obviously, the players are aware of it. I was getting a little bit of pushback on Twitter from people saying schools poach recruits from other schools all the time.
Yeah.
Arizona just got a guy who was committed to Iowa State, right?
Christian Young.
I think they're going after somebody who is committed currently to Colorado State, okay? Yes. My point was, there's a preponderance of guys. There's, five?
four that were like officially, and then there was Thomas Graham, who I've heard from people that I trust that he was a silent commit.
So four players and maybe as many as five who were at one time committed or silently committed to Arizona end up at Oregon. Okay? That just cannot be a coincidence, right? And then
the timing of it, I think, is the frustration from the fans' perspective, too. Because Cody Shear and Burmeister in particular, Burmeister was literally going to enroll. Like, I talked to his mom, like, on a Friday. I think we talked about this on Monday. I talked to his mom on a Friday, and by Sunday, he was reconsidering his options, and Cody Shear didn't have an Oregon offer as of signing day. And then 6 a.m. that morning, like, Mario Cristobal calls him and flips him, like, and Austin Faiolu, Joe Salovea gets hired the same day he decommits from Arizona, and he winds up at Oregon 10 days later. Like, he probably wound up there earlier than that. Like, it, of course, it's not unique that a highly regarded Pac-12 school is swooping a guy that wanted to go to Arizona. They're going to get the recruits. That's just the reality, but the number of it in the same class.
Do you think Oregon is just still cooler
than
Arizona?
Yeah. Well, even with Khalil? Even Rich was like, they have the best facilities of any sport. Like, that's, they have all the jerseys, they have all the Nike stuff, Uncle Phil, as they call him over there. It's just great. And, I mean, to add insult to injury almost to this whole topic, this morning I saw Haki Woods, the Pima College defensive back, who was committed to Arizona for less than 2 weeks, got an offer the day after from Oregon. He's in Eugene this weekend for this game. He's visiting Oregon. He's not visiting Arizona. So.
None of us were
almost like they did that on purpose.
None of us were surprised when we found out, you know, shortly after Haki decommitted,
that Oregon
had offered him.
He's had more offers since then, but it was just like, of course.
Of course, right. So that adds sort of a subtext to this game. You know, Rich Rod and Willie Taggart both are kind of saying it's not personal.
A little, yeah.
You know, it's really about the team. We're only worried about the guys we have.
You hear Shum being like, coach is mad. They're mad about it. So
right.
They're mentioning it.
Yeah, I think they're talking about it behind
which
the scenes.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
And not to us.
And the players probably aren't supposed to tell us that.
Right, of course. Of course. I think that Rich Rod, I don't even know if he'd say it afterward, but I just know that he would feel a certain extra sense of satisfaction if he were able to win this game with his guys versus the guys who, you know, the would-be Wildcats.
And as I mentioned to somebody, the craziest part, if you consider they win this game, it would mean they won two straight at Austin Stadium.
Like that's, oh, that is weird.
That'd be crazy. I mean, just because of the scheduling, but like, I don't know if Arizona's ever done. I mean, at least not in the Oregon years when they've been good. Like,
well, maybe we'll have to research that after the game. We'll see. It should also be noted, right? It should be noted that they did play Oregon subsequently.
Yes, in the Pac-12
championship
game. That did not go well.
It was one of the worst performances of the Rich Rod era.
Yeah, Rich Eamon was like, I think he might have said it to you. He was even like, somebody reminded me the other day of the last time we played them was actually this one.
So the touchdowns in that game, there was a touchdown pass by Jesse Scroggins.
I was going to say, it got so, like,
and a rush by Gerard Randall.
Oh, man, I didn't cover the game, but I watched it from Tucson, and it was, like, over, like, right away, too. Just depressing game. I mean, the fact that they got there was crazy, but has there been a close Pac-12 championship game yet? Haven't they all been blowouts?
I don't recall one being dramatic or memorable.
Like a Pac-12
in
game.
In any way. You know, do you want to segue into the game this week? Because I was just, when we're talking about that, it reminded me of how I view this Arizona team now with Khalil Tate. I don't feel like they're going to get blown out by anybody. I feel like they have a comeback capability or an ability to just trade blows with somebody. So, you know, I think this is going to be a really difficult game. The timing is bad because it seems like Justin Herbert's going to play and he changes everything for Oregon offensively.
Even if he doesn't play a great game, you think like energy and motivational wise, they're going to come out.
Right. Plus just fire. The threat of him passing the ball, where maybe that doesn't exist with Braxton Burmeister because he's just not ready to, you know, play at this level yet. But all that being said, the weather, the crowd noise, I feel like, and
road
maybe
games
I'm
are
wrong,
hard anyway. Yeah.
Road games are hard. I feel like Khalil keeps you in the game. You know, he's such a dynamic threat. They're also such a patient team. You know, I don't know when that changed exactly. You know, since the kind of the heyday of Anu, they've become so much more run oriented, and I like that. You know, I don't feel like they're going to panic.
It's old school Rich Rod offense.
It is.
The only run, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in that USC game, it's not like they just started chucking the ball all over the field in the course of their comeback.
Didn't Khalil run it 26 times that game?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So
and he said they'll run him if it means that's the way to win. So.
Like I said, I think I said on Monday's podcast, you got to pack your running game and your defense to win on the road, according to the great Lane Kiffin. And we have one of those two is surely in place, yeah. And the other part, I'm not so sure.
Kind of super surprising stat. Oregon is the number two rushing defense in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, that
well,
for how young their defense is, that shows that they're doing a really
Jim
good job.
Jim Leavitt is a freaking genius.
Rich Rod loves him, yeah.
He went over to Colorado, and look how much better they were with him than without him.
Yeah.
They still have a bunch of NFL caliber players, right? He goes to Oregon and instantly turns them into a respectable defense. So
I mean, second best rush defense.
That's another great poaching job by the Ducks right there. Getting Jim Leavitt away from Colorado.
Joe Salvea, they kind of took from Arizona in a way.
Well, they took him from Washington State, right?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah. Yeah.
They have done a good job of putting together.
That staff is ridiculous.
Their staff and also their roster. I mean, it is a young. They are young in some spots. Even Herbert's only a sophomore.
Yeah, which people forget. People forget. I also think people forget how good he was when he was healthy.
He's great.
First of all, considering he played as a true freshman, which is
crazy.
He
was good as a true freshman,
yeah,
too. And he looks like an NFL quarterback.
And we're seeing how rare it was with Khalil and Braxton Burmeister for that to happen. So usually it's a redshirt freshman who comes in, like Jameis and guys like that.
Do you have any idea how many stars Justin Herbert was?
I'll look it up right now. I have my computer in front of me.
It says something about this 2016 class, right?
Yeah.
Tate, Herbert.
Yeah, true. He was, and from right from their backyard, too. Played with Cody Shear, actually.
Oh, Herbert played with Shear?
Three-star, and his only other offers, Montana State, Northern Arizona, and Portland State.
Wow.
So is Montana State even FBS? I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
That's crazy. And they probably, so was it like a last, he committed, like, he committed in October, so he probably committed right when he got an offer from Oregon, but.
It is utterly amazing how much of an inexact science recruiting is. And I don't blame anybody for
but
that
Oregon,
either. It's really hard.
Well, Oregon lost two guys who transferred, I don't know their names, but they were like four-star guys.
Quarterbacks.
And he beat them out clearly. So that kind of says, I mean, sometimes a guy just comes in. I mean, Luke Falk was a walk on at Wazoo. Got beat out by Brandon Dawkins in high school.
When USC had Sam Darnold and Ricky Town, okay, in the same class. And Ricky Town was kind of like the five star or borderline four or five star, whereas Sam was a solid four star, but he wasn't kind of as well publicized or well known. Couple weeks into training camp, Ricky Town bailed. Because I don't know if this has ever come out publicly. But I think he just knew.
Yeah.
I can't compete with this guy. Like, well, Sam Darnold is.
Well, the Max Brown continued. I mean, he got injured again this year, but which is sad. Max Brown left because of Darnold too.
Right.
Well he lost the job.
He lost the job.
Yeah.
Which is going to create an interesting situation for Arizona in the offseason.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll save that for another podcast.
That'll be a discussion. But
so what's your prediction for this game, Zach? Who you got?
Man, you know, the more we talk, I've been thinking about it. I know it's tough, but I think Arizona wins this game. I just think, even though Herbert's back, like, he hasn't been playing for a while. So, I think that if he comes out and is himself, then it's a different thing. It's just so hard to predict because we don't know what kind of Herbert we're going to get. He probably isn't 100%. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's rushing himself back as a competitor. But, yeah, I'm going to say it's a high-scoring one. I'll say 42-35 Arizona win.
I'm glad you're taking Arizona.
Yeah.
Because you usually don't.
I know. Back in the day.
I'm going the other way on this one. I'm taking Oregon. I feel like it's, like we talked about, a very difficult venue. An underrated Oregon defense. A team that's going to be really inspired by the return of its quarterback, we think. And a quarterback who just makes a difference. You know, I worry a little bit about false starts and kind of, you know, the Arizona offense getting behind the chains a little bit. You know, some second and longs, third and longs, those are not, you know, that's not their comfort zone. And I also feel like, motivationally, of course they want to win. Of course they want to prove themselves. Of course they want to beat this team that's got a bunch of these Wildcat, you know, four
By the way, isn't it weird that Oregon needs this win more than Arizona does, by the way?
I mean, that's part of the motivation,
right?
And also, in which game of these last two is going to mean more to the Wildcats? Oregon or ASU?
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like it's ASU. So I'm going with Oregon. And I'm going to take the Ducks winning 38-35.
So you got a high scoring one too.
I do.
All right, on that we'll cut to the Ask Blatt Twitter mailbag. We're gonna answer some of the last few questions that timeliness wise still work because of technical difficulties. That one didn't air, and Michael's going to help me out with that. But we got our little graphic to play for you.
If you're a particular college coach, probably in any sport, just about every school has a rival. some have two or three big rivals, but there's usually just one main rival in every school, and it's been that way and throughout my career coaching football. That it's been, whether it was West Virginia playing Pitt, or even I was assistant at Clemson in South Carolina, certainly Michigan, Ohio State, and here ASU, that there is an added importance to that game. It's, you know, it may count as one, but in the standings one way or another, but you know, it's the game that your fans are most passionate about. It's the game that your players probably hear about most during the year. And, you know, so there is always more at stake from that standpoint. You know, the process of how we work and practice throughout the week is going to stay the same. But for us, it's always at this time of year. There's usually other stuff at stake. Like for this year, there's, you know, I guess your bowl status might be at stake or what bowl you go to. So it's there's a lot of intensity there.
So one of the big issues that Arizona had at Oregon was that they really didn't do a good job of controlling their emotions. They kind of got caught up in the trash talk and got in their heads and got out of their game a little bit. That is going to be a concern again going into a hostile environment.
There'll be
your biggest rival. There will be tons of trash talk. Justin, you've played football before. You're the only one of us three who have done that. So I will bow to your expertise here. Sure. How do you avoid getting caught up in all that stuff in what's going to be the most intense game of the year?
Like, what was Cienega's rival?
Our biggest rival was probably Saguaro, because we just played them every year. Sabino, it was like every other year, so we wouldn't really consider them rivals. But, you know, of course, there's always going to be trash talk on social media. Of course, I played high school. These guys are college athletes, so I'm sure there's not going to be a lot of trash talk on social media. But going back to the Territorial Cup game a couple years ago, there was trash talk on the field. You just got to let the trash talk happen pregame, because the referees aren't going to be able to control you during the pregame. During the game, they have all the control in the world. So, like Rich Rod said, you know, there's a difference between being energetic and having a lot of charisma versus being dumb. And that's one thing that I'm worried about for Arizona is, you know, ASU is going to come prepared. They're bringing their best when it comes to Khalil Tate. I mean, they're going to try everything they can to get in his head. And when you're the road team, you just got to take the high road and just avoid at all costs, because they're going to do everything they can.
Hopefully they will have learned their lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they talked about it during the game. They talked about it after the Oregon game. Like, we can't have this stuff. And that was the point that Rich, I think, was making after the game, is like, maybe if some teams can get away with this sort of thing. Some teams can get away with committing penalties or giving the other team good field position. Arizona is not one of those teams yet. Maybe they will be once these freshmen mature into veterans and Khalil Tate's played a full season. But their talent level compared to other teams' talent levels, the injuries that they have, I mean, they can't afford to give yardage to the other team. Yeah. You know, they can't afford to end a drive but then extend a drive because of a stupid penalty. They just can't have that stuff.
Yeah.
So one of the things that that's been noteworthy about Arizona State of late, guys, is they're rushing the ball a lot better now than they were earlier in the season. This is from our colleague Doug Haller with the Arizona Republic. So earlier this year, Arizona State had 79 rushing yards against New Mexico State, 44 yards against San Diego State, right? Last three games, 381, 294, and 286 yards on the ground.
That's
when you
Arizona
hear those numbers,
level, wow.
Yeah. When you hear those numbers, Zach, I mean, what's your reaction?
I mean, we were talking earlier about Arizona missing D-line. I mean, that makes it even scarier that they're kind of firing on all cylinders. They've got multiple running backs. I mean, without watching them and knowing specifically how their offensive line is doing, I bet the fact that they're rushing for that many yards means they're playing pretty well. So ASU might have the advantage on when ASU's offense versus Arizona's defense. And so if that's the case, then if Khalil makes any mistakes, then it's going to be very small room for error. So it's that changes things a little bit.
And with the, I shouldn't say inexperienced defensive line, but the very thin defensive line that Arizona has, you're probably going to see a lot of kind of two-back sets with ASU where they may not necessarily have two backs in the backfield, but they'll send somebody in motion,
like a
fake handoff, and then hit DeMario Richard. And the running backs, if the defensive line is very shaky at first, the running backs are going to have a field day in between the hash marks, because, one, Arizona doesn't have a lot of size, and two, they're very thin.
ASU is probably going to get a lot of push. So I'm excited to see ASU's running backs.
Zach, you talked to a couple of ASU players at Pac-12 Media Days about last year's game. What were some of the things they had to say about it?
They were like, that was the worst thing ever. Like, that was the worst experience they've ever been. Especially the I think it was JoJo Wicker, defensive lineman. It's almost a meme at this point. You know, Arizona didn't throw a pass in the second half. I think fans still bring it up to this day. I see it on Twitter.
Every week,
at least once a week, often more than that.
Because they didn't need to, right? They were so dominant up front,
imagine how demoralizing that is as a defense. Like, everything you're trying to do is just not working. And they rushed for, 600 rushing yards? Or no, 500.
511,
which they've since broken, obviously. But that's going to be on that defense's mind. I'm sure Doug's going to write some stuff this week. I imagine that's the motivation. I'm sure that's what they're talking about in their room. And if they can... You would expect them not to come out and let that happen again, but I mean, Arizona's tough to stop, maybe even tougher to stop rushing the ball now. So,
you know that they've been thinking about that for 360 days, basically, right? Like, Arizona pushed us around. Arizona ran the ball down our throats.
And kept us from a bowl game.
Right, kept them out of a bowl game. Like, we cannot allow that to happen again, right? That's got to be the mindset for the Sun Devils. They're going to be extremely motivated and determined to reverse that, you know, to maybe run it down Arizona's throat. So I think given all that, Khalil is going to have a big game. I mean, they're not going to win the game if he rushes for 32 yards. Let's put it that way. But I also think he needs help from his friends. The receivers need to play better. They need to win some of those jump ball 50-50 situations. They won almost none of them against Oregon. The running backs have to continue to do what they've been doing. I think Nick Wilson is... played really well the last 2 weeks. Yes. That's an encouraging sign. J.J. Taylor, you know what you're going to get out of him. It's going to be interesting, as always. I think it could be another shootout type of game, given what we've talked about with Arizona having some struggles on defense and maybe needing to score. The other thing I'll be interested to see is how aggressively the coaches coach this game. You know, like, Rich Rod had 4th and 4 at the – I think it was 4th and 4 – at the 42, early in the second half the other night, they were down 28-21 at the time, and he elected to bring Trevor Wood in to do a pooch punt. And I thought at the time was the best punt of the day. But I thought at the time, like, man, this is a game where you got to score like pretty much every possession, you know? Will both coaches have that mindset in this last game of let's throw everything out there that we've got? You know, let's take chances. Let's do trick plays. Let's go for it on 4th down. I'm hoping that's the case because – it makes for a more enjoyable brand of football.
Yeah, and I think with the whole punting situation that's been going on, it's Rich Rodriguez said it was mental, but if it continues, I mean, we'll see after the first drive if they are forced to punt. But if the punting woes continue to happen, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of situations where Arizona's going to be on their side of the field and they're going to end up trying to go for it. I mean, if it's midfield, I'm not saying go full Madden and go for it on 4th down on your own 20-yard line, but you're going to see a lot of chances taken from Arizona in this game.
Yeah, Oregon brought out that trick play, the reverse flea flicker in that game. I wonder if we're going to see something from Arizona along those lines. I mean, they've done end-arounds, they've done fake end-arounds, but we haven't seen anything like a throwback pass, a halfback option. I don't know, maybe we have a play with Brandon Dawkins and Khalil Tate on the field at the same time and throw a lateral to one of them.
Speaking of Dawkins, it's kind of crazy to think that it was just 2 years ago that he had his sort of – I mean, he lost and he threw 2 interceptions, but that was like, this is the future at quarterback game. And then how quickly things can change. Because Khalil was on – no, he wasn't on the roster yet.
He was coming.
He came in that January. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny to think how quickly things change.
Right. And then, of course, that begat the whole – Anu Solomon, Brandon Dawkins, QB controversy, which lingered all the way through last season, basically. And Anu decides to leave. Brandon is the incumbent.
You had just moved to Tucson around this time, didn't you?
It was December of 2015.
Yeah, because you made a bunch of New Mexico.
Last year was my first territorial cup. First of many to come.
Yep.
Hopefully, if we're all around, if we all have jobs.
If
the earth still exists. All right, that's a good note to end on, I think, right there, talking about the future of the world, a little dark. Justin Spears, we'll catch your videos later today up at Tucson.com, also the Wildcaster app. Justin will give you some cool cut-ups from Rich's press conference. Zach and I will be working the Territorial Cup angle all week long. You can check out all of our work, as always, at Tucson.com, as well as the free Wildcaster app. Thanks for listening. For Justin and Zach, I'm Michael. We'll see you next time.